Hebrews chapter 13 and Ephesians chapter 2 for this morning, y'all. I've been doing a lot of thinking this month. Y'all know it's been 31 days since all this mess started happening. And it don't seem like it's been that long, but it's been that long. And it's going to keep going on for a little while. The Lord will take care of it all. I've been doing a lot of thinking in the process when I have time, right? And not about anything other than how good the Lord is, how good he really is, and how faithful he is with his promises and his word. His word has always been true. It's always been something that we can count on and lean on in our lives. And I think sometimes things happen in such a way that forces us into a place where we can't ignore him, you see. And it's easy to ignore the Lord. It's easy to get so comfortable with the Lord and his blessings that we just kind of inadvertently ignore him, unintentionally. And it's not because we don't believe, and it's not because we don't love God. It's just because life happens and we get busy, and he gets less and less a priority. And when the world falls apart, as it sometimes does, suddenly he's all in our face and we can't ignore him, which is not a bad thing, right? And I've been praying about and thinking about all the things that have been going on here in the mountains and what role this church has played in doing our part with the situation. And it seems like a big part for this little old church, but it's really just a small part of what God's doing really all around the world, let alone the storm that just come through here. Because the reality is, if you've been around the block at least once or twice, you realize that life is full of storms. Sometimes they're just personal storms, just you, or just you and your family. Sometimes people live with permanent storms, right, that don't ever go away. And what I've found is God always sends help, no matter what the storm. This particular time, we got to be the help for a lot of folks. We're still getting to be the help for a lot of folks. And at the same time, a lot of other folks from around the country came here to help us. Isn't that amazing? We would not be able to do what the Lord has called us to do without his help. Without our brothers and sisters in Christ coming here and staying here and doing all the things that they do. And it's all because they love God and they love people, because they know Jesus. And it's the same reason why we do anything, because we love God and we love people and we know Jesus. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Christian life. I didn't even know I was a sinner until the day before I got saved, to be honest with you. I mean, I knew what it was to be a sinner, but I didn't ever apply it to me until the one preacher sat. Now, he came into my own house, pulled a chair up like face to face in my living room, and pointed his finger at me and said, "This applies to you just like it does everybody else." And if he would have never done that, I would have continued to ignore the whole situation. From that moment on, I began to learn who God is, who Jesus is, and I learned who I am and who I was. This particular message for this morning, I kind of wrestled a lot with, because I was almost like, every part of the Bible applies to everything right now. So where do I go? And plus, Conrad preached last Sunday, so I was off. And I'm like, surely I didn't get rusty that fast. Just one Sunday, right? Surely I didn't forget how to bring the message up here. But I was like, what can I say about what the Lord has been doing? What words can I find to describe and talk about the experience that we've all been living in, you see? And it's easy. In the beginning, it was easy. It's like, we got to go help people because people are in trouble and they have need. And I was reminded that God is the great multitasker, because at the same time, he's working on me and you and everybody else. We needed help, whether we wanted to admit it or not, whether we knew it or not, whether we wanted to need help or not. If anybody lives in these mountains, we need help because of this storm. And not one soul did God overlook. No matter what happened, no matter how good it was or bad it was or in between, there were some bad things that happened, and then there were some worse things that happened. People called me on the phone, how bad did you guys get hit? And my answer was always, it's bad for everybody out here, and it's worse for others. But God saw it all. He was never absent from anybody. He saw it coming. He knew all about it. He was all in it. He's still around. He'll be in it later. He'll always be there. And I got to thinking about, how do I do this? How do we do this? How does our little church go about doing whatever the Lord has put in front of us to do? All you got to do is drive around a parking lot. We got equipment everywhere that we never had before. This preacher didn't make that happen. Nobody in this church really made that happen. This is what the Lord is doing. This is what God is doing. And almost immediately, I started realizing that God's about to do some things right here in this part of the world, and we better get on board with it, or we're going to miss out. And I just like to say that y'all, y'all are amazing. I mean, y'all stepped up and did what the Lord called us to do, and we're still doing it. We're all tired, aren't we? I'll tell you to raise your hand if you're tired, but I know you're too tired. You're just like, oh, it was me. But you know, when we're serving the Lord and serving people and we're tired from it, there's some joy in that. There's some peace in that. And we'll get up and go tomorrow and the next day, should the Lord require us to do it. Why? Because we love God. We've got relief supplies brought here from everywhere. And it wasn't a day that went by that I'm not looking around in this building and saying, what are we going to do with all this stuff? How are we going to give all this stuff out? And it's going out. It just keeps going out. And every time we give, more comes in. Everything that the Lord is doing, it's his thing. We're just the workers here. We just get to be a part of it. We got manpower coming from everywhere to go out and cut trees and clean out houses and just be a blessing to people. And I know that all of y'all would be willing to do all that stuff, but we're not big enough to do as much as we've done by ourselves. So the Lord brought more hands. He brought more people that know him to go out and show the world who he is. There's other resources. We got resources coming from every different direction. Every time I turn around, more resources come here so that we can go and do the work that God has called us to do, which is just love people. That's it. Go love people so that people might see the Lord. I don't know if you know who a company, it's not a company, it's an organization called IDES. It's a disaster relief organization, a Christian disaster. They're big trailers out here, the shower trailer. Just got here last night. That's for all the workers that are coming. Because they're going to come in here. They got experience, and they know how to do things way better than I do or we do. So they're going to come in here and just do that so that you can have your preacher back full time. Right? And I'm not quitting. We're just getting wise about it. Make sense? We're going to do it. We're going to be able to help more people for as long as they're able to stay here. And that's a blessing from the Lord. It's all a blessing from God. And I just want y'all to know, I want y'all to be aware of some things. But the whole time, I'm sitting here thinking, how are we going to do this? How is this going to get done? Like I don't know. Like I didn't know. Like it's like, you guys probably don't know this about me, but I have conversations with myself all the time. I'm constantly having arguments with myself. Because I'm over here saying, how are we going to get this done? How are we going to get that done? And then self is saying to self, don't we know God? Don't we believe God? Don't we trust the Lord? And then, of course, the Spirit of the Lord gets involved and says, yeah, what he said. Right? It's been an amazing situation for us. Tragic, yeah. Heartbreaking. Yeah. But we've seen God in such amazing ways in these last 31 days. I don't know how we don't grow from it. Spiritually. And maybe even in number. I don't see how anybody lives through a storm like this and doesn't consider God. It happens, but I just don't understand it. How does God come into a person's life and help them in their one of their worst times and they don't recognize him? It happens. It happens. Here's what I kept saying to myself. The Bible teaches us that it's Jesus, his instructions to us is to go into the world and make disciples. Just go love people because you love God, so they might have a chance to know God. That's what we do. And he also said, I'll go with you wherever you go. So wherever we were, wherever you were, wherever I was, wherever our brothers and sisters who came to work, wherever they went in our community, there the Lord was. Showing himself. That's why when we went to a couple's house just down the way over here, they're in their 80s, and they got a tree up against their house, and they can't do it themselves. One of our crew went over there, and they showed up at 7:30, and by 8:45, they were leaving. It was a gigantic oak tree. I mean, big. Of course, they were a bunch of young guys, so I was happy to let them do it, you know. It just so happened to be at that particular time, I'm the guy that God chose. I could just show up when it's all over, shake the people's hand, and talk to them. They're over there loading their tools up in their vehicle, and I'm talking to this couple. And they can't. They can't figure out why these people drove all the way across the state of North Carolina to cut a tree off of their house. Grown man crying on his front porch. His wife come busting out of the screen door and literally jumped off the porch to hug me because somebody cut the tree off of their property. And they kept asking me, why would you do that for free? And I get to tell them it's because we know that God loves you. And because we know that God loves you, we love you. So we help. And they sit there and they don't know what to do with that. It's so overwhelming. And I'm not standing up here to brag about what we've done. I'm bragging about what God is doing here. This is bigger than us just cleaning up yards. It's bigger than what Oak Grove is doing right now. This is what God is doing in the lives of people all around us. And it's like that every single job. It impacts people. It doesn't matter what the job was. They just need help. So God sent help. It's such an amazing thing. And you know, we could have said, the leadership could have got together and said, yeah, we're not big enough to do this. We'll just pray for people. Not one time did any of us ever cross our minds. It was just, let's just go do this. We had no idea how it was going to play out. We had no idea what we were going to do or how it was going to get done. We just started doing it, and every time there was a need, before I could even come up with my own plan, God had it fulfilled. If I needed people, there were people here. If I needed some other resource, it was there. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And God made it happen. It was extremely humbling for me personally. Because as the preacher of this church and one of your leaders, I felt like I had to make a lot of decisions and get this organized and go do this. And I didn't do a thing. God never gave me a chance to do anything. I'm trying to keep up with Him. I'm keeping up pace with Him. And the whole time, like He's this master workman. He's just like, He's working on everybody. And the whole time He's like, yeah, this is the way this is the way it works. In case you didn't know, preacher. This is the way it works. So I'm just like, okay, yes, let's do it your way then. Because it seems to be the best way, and it has been the best way. It's the only way, really. And I get reminded of when I first got saved and I first started growing in Christ. Got serious about the first thing I learned about the Bible is it teaches me who I am and who God says I am. Not what I think about myself, not what you think about me, but who God says I am. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I probably got them backwards. No, I don't. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, here, this is one of the things that set me free. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Now think about what that says. Because if I knew everything about the Christian life, what it meant to be a Christian man, let alone a preacher of any kind, I probably would have bailed. I would have bailed almost immediately. Oh, we got to do all of that? No, I can't. It's not that I wouldn't have wanted to. It was because I would have said to myself, "Yeah, you're not capable of doing all that. You're not capable of loving people the way God wants you to." You're not capable of serving people the way God wants you to. You're not capable of making the sacrifices it takes to honor God and live the way Jesus died for you to live. That would have been my attitude, and it was, until I read this scripture. Because I'm still sitting here today saying, how on earth did we do anything that the Lord was having us do here at this church? Not because I doubt y'all. Really not even because I doubt myself. It's really because it just happened. It's like it just happened. The storm happened and all of our efforts happened. There was almost zero conflict in this effort. And if there was any conflict, it was probably my doing, just from being tired. When you get tired, you get cranky. And you don't think straight. But here it is. We are His workmanship, God's workmanship. Every single one of you, God created with a purpose. Every single person God has a purpose for. God doesn't create, nobody's created as a spare tool that God doesn't know what to do with. Right? So when Jesus goes to the cross, He goes to the cross so that we have the opportunity to be whatever God created us to be to start with, you see. And once I realized that my behavior, my sinful behavior that separates me from my Father in heaven, interferes with what God created, then it all became doable. Because it's His plan. I'm His workmanship. It's all He's doing all the stuff. He created me. He's shaping me. And it's not like God's like, "Oh, let me find something for Archie to do today." It's laid out. Until I leave this world, it's laid out. Same for y'all. I don't get to know it until it's time. Ain't that frustrating? It is sometimes frustrating. It's like, come on, just tell me the way it's going to go so I can be prepared. There it is, isn't it? I'm trying to be prepared for what God's doing instead of let Him be the craftsman and shape me for and prepare me for what he's doing. The reason we didn't know anything about this, what God's doing here, I'm not talking about the storm. I'm just talking about what we're doing in the storm, how we're doing what God has always wanted us to do, is because God is the one preparing us for this. If we knew there was going to be a storm and he was going to use us in this way, we would have been having one meeting after another trying to plan it out. And that would not fly, y'all. So God, we're his workmanship, y'all, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what we're created for. We're created to do good to one another. So why are we doing this? Because that's what we're created to do. That's natural. Think about it. Think about this. The storm happens. Everybody's in the dark. There's no power, no water, no cell phones, no internet. All we have is ourselves and our neighbors. And every story I've ever heard since this storm happened, all the neighbors come out and we get together and we take care of the neighborhood. Why? Because before we were just driving by waving at each other, not even really knowing each other. And suddenly now we're cutting trees and hanging out, eating barbecue in the front yard. That is what happened, right? At my house anyway. I don't know what y'all were doing, but I was eating barbecue. But it happened because that's what we're created to do, y'all. That's what people are created to be with each other. People are created to help one another, to live among one another. That's what God created people to do. And everything that we've created kind of interferes with that, doesn't it? And sometimes it takes the lights to get shut out to be reminded about that. We get so busy with life that we forget that we're God's workmanship and we're created in Christ so that we can do good works for each other and for God's glory. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just understand how simple it really is? How many times do we read the Bible? How many times we sit here and look at it and God kind of reveals some things to us in our life and we're like, why didn't you just say so? I wouldn't have been over here doing all this nonsense. It really is more simple than what we let it be. Because we're trying to do it for God instead of letting God do it in us for him and through us, right? And there's been, and this is going to sound strange, but the last 31 days for me personally has been exciting. There's been joy. There's been amazement. And there's been hardship. Y'all know what B-Tree Christian Church looks like. It's basically not there anymore. And I went over and talked to that preacher. I had never met him, and I was over there looking at his church one day. And he happened to drive by, and we stood there and talked for quite a while. And he said he didn't even know the water was doing whatever it was doing because he lives up on the top of the mountain there. All he knew was trees were going down on his property. And then when he comes down the mountain after the storm's over, his church is gone. I couldn't take that. His church building's gone and he can't find his people. That's tough. That's tough, y'all. And there's way more horrible stories out there than just that one there. And in the middle of it, there's all this excitement and joy in amazement at watching the Lord take care of his people, take care of the ones that he loves, and being a part of what God's doing, because we are his workmanship and we're created to go and love people. We're created to go and do what God wants us to do. We're the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. So we're going to keep up with folks. And we're going to make sure that whatever the needs are, we're going to at least we're either going to help them or at least find someone that can help them. Because that's what God's called us to do. He's always, nothing has changed, y'all. This isn't a new plan. This is what we're supposed to do all along. Isn't that right? It just got real, didn't it? Unavoidably real. I want to show you what Hebrews chapter 13 says here. Just to go along with this. Verse 20 and 21. This is the end of the letter that's written here. So it's the closing of the letter. And he says in verse 20, chapter 13, verse 20, says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord," verse 21, "equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, once again, we see in just another small portion of Scripture, it's all over the Scripture, but God will give you what you need to go do his will. He's given us everything we need to be successful. He says, go into the world and love people, and I'll go with you. And I've been reminded that God's resources are never drained. We're not going to run out of water. We're not going to run out of canned food. We're not going to run out of whatever anybody might need. God has it, and he can make it happen. I'm praying, and some other people are praying. There's a young family right over here in Swannanoa that they think they need a new floor in their trailer, in their single wide. They need a whole new single wide, y'all. They need a whole new house. That home can't be fixed. I've been in it. They're just young people. Got two kids. They don't have no money. What are they going to do? They're living with his mama right now, but how long can that last? So we're just praying and talking to people and see if we can figure out what the Lord's going to do to help this family. There's never a time when, because I fell into this trap a couple weeks ago, sitting in my office. In the brief moment that I had to do that, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder when this is going to be over. Not that I'm sick and tired of helping people, but it was like, you know, it's a lot of work and it's less sleep, you know. Cutting it in my barbecue time too, which I don't think the Lord cares about. You see. But it's like, what are we going to do? When is this going to be? Is this ever going to end? How do I know when this stops? And it was like within 2 minutes of thinking that, the Lord's like, what do you mean stop? This been going on since Jesus came into the world. It's been the thing going on ever since I created people. This is going to stop when Jesus comes back. And I said, oh yeah, my bad. Let me get back to work then, right? And I'm just trying to understand, y'all. I'm just along for the ride like the rest of you. And I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to do what the Lord wants us to do so that people can get the help they need and so they might know the Lord. And if they already know the Lord, that they would be aware that God hasn't forgot about them. And that they would have reason to praise his name as if we need another reason. I mean, Jesus alone is enough to praise his name. You ever think about your salvation that way? Jesus died on the cross, a brutal death, because all of us have offended our Father. Not by accident. We all made a choice to do something or some things to offend our Father. And because of that, we cannot be with him. And the only way to fix that is for Jesus to go onto the cross and pay the penalty for sin, which is death. That is an amazing, I don't even know if amazing covers it. That is an amazing situation. And that is an amazing gift that we all can have the opportunity to receive. And if Jesus never, if God never did another thing for me, that would be enough, wouldn't it? If there was never another blessing in my life after I received Jesus as Lord and Savior and forgiven of my sins, and I get to be with God for the eternity, if there was nothing else, it would be enough. I wouldn't even dare ask for anything more than that. And yet here we are. I get Jesus and I get to be a blessing to other people. I get Jesus and I get to have joy and fellowship with other believers who love me. I get Jesus and I get an amazing wife who puts up with my nonsense. I mean, it goes on and on. Y'all can do the same thing. All the blessings that sometimes we don't count very often. That's after Jesus. And the reality is Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross so that you could be forgiven because you're His workmanship. You're His. He created you. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about you. He's not going to let that get away. So He sent Jesus so that He could die on the cross. Jesus on the cross is the beginning of the equipping, right? We're being equipped. We're being set up to do what Jesus died for us to do, what God would want us to do. Does that make sense, y'all? So all of this that's been going on about this storm and about this relief effort and about just the ministry that goes on, how many times y'all, see, this is what y'all, some of y'all have to work and you have places you can't be here all the time. I've spent literally hours in the last 30 days in this parking lot talking to strangers about who we are as believers, about our church, and about God. And all I do is go out there and say, you need water? You need paper towels? What do you need? Some food? That's all I ever say. And by the time I get some of that stuff in their car, they want to start talking about what happened to them. They need to talk about it. So we start talking. And almost every time, they want to know, why does God allow this? Or what's God doing about this? Or how can I? Or sometimes they say, tell me about your church because maybe I need to know something. We're not doing this. Y'all know that. We're just God's tools. I hope you're excited about that. I hope you're worn out, slam tired because of it. Because everybody is doing what they can. And God is having His way. And I'll finish up with some of this here. It's been, for the last at least several years, we've been preaching and teaching and talking about being people of faith. Preaching and teaching and talking about trusting God. Trying to figure out where God's going to help us get connected to our community, right? We've talked about this even in the last few sermons about this. And we've also stood around in Bible studies and talked outside and on the phone and probably in our sleep about, we all feel like God's doing something around here, something special. Something's about to happen. Things are going to be different. Things are going to grow. People are going to start knowing God. We were saying that before the storm. Now, it's like, here's the opportunity to get involved in our community. Here's the opportunity to be face-to-face with our neighbors. Face-to-face with those who either know God or don't know God. Either way, they're going to experience God in some form. You see, we get to be the church. We get to be the body of Christ. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus and make a difference in people's lives. That's all it is. Make sense? Nobody's out trying to force people to be Christians. Nobody's out there trying to force people to believe or repent. We're just saying, hey, God loves you. We love you. That's it. Isn't that easy? I think I've told you all this before. I don't mind telling you again. You might get tired of it. But I can tell people that Jesus loves them while I'm eating ribs at the same time. I can do it. I certainly do it. I just wiped them barbecue sauce right off of there and say, you know Jesus loves you, right? I mean, and Jesus, right? I get Jesus, and I get all of y'all. I get Jesus, I get my wife. I get Jesus, I get my son. I get Jesus, I get all kind of stuff, same as you guys. So when we have a storm like this, we're not defeated, right? We're hurting, but we're not defeated because we know the Lord. And it just keeps going on and on, y'all. So when is this going to be over? It ain't. It ain't. This is our ministry. This is who we are. This is what we do. And I'm saying to everybody who will listen, this is what the Lord's doing with us. You need to come and be a part of it. You just need to come and join us. You will not be disappointed. Just come and be here and see what the Lord does. See what he's prepared you for. Nobody's here by accident. God's doing his thing. He's always doing his thing. Question is, are you part of it, right? Are you with him? Are you doing his thing? Because if it's my thing, y'all are in trouble. In a lot of trouble. I love you and the Lord loves you. If you haven't been saved, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, say, I don't want to be an offender of God anymore, then today's the day you could do that. You could do it anytime. I don't know why you would wait. I don't know why you would wait. Because you can step into God's grace, you can accept his forgiveness. It's just that easy. And the Bible tells us, if you believe, then you should repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. None of those things save you. What Jesus did on the cross is what saves you. And if you believe it, your faith makes you start being obedient to what Scripture says. And then it's the rest of your life being obedient to the Lord. Right? So why do we get up every day and go do? Because we love the Lord. Our faith is genuine. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you have a decision to make, let's do it. If you already know the Lord, sing out like you know him.